All right, so now we're going to look at Stand Your Ground, Part 4. Amen. We're talking about spiritual armor. You know, as I think about this, you know, spiritual warfare is something that I believe that every believer should be proficient at. You know, sticking your head in the sand doesn't work very good. It's not a very good plan, is it? Like an ostrich, they say they stick their head in the sand. I don't know if they do or not. But, you know, we need to be skillful and be able to handle every arrow, everything that the devil shoots our way. And there will be shots. There will be attacks. They will come. You know, my job as a pastor is to take you from a warrior and make a warrior out of you. Amen? Yeah, I mean, worrying doesn't help, right? But if we're willing to stand our ground and fight our battles, we'll be in a good place. You know, God gave us weapons, and we need to learn how to use them. So the passage of Scripture I want to jump into right here is found in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to look, make sure my mic's on, yep. Ephesians 6, 14 to 17. Ephesians 6, 14 to 17, I read from the New American Standard. It says, "Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and then take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your Word, the power that's in the Word of God to be able to transform and to change. Lord God, I thank you that we are warriors. Lord, you've called us to be in the army of God. And the things you've called us to do, Lord, we thank you. We will not shrink in fear, but we're going to press on in faith. Lord, just thank you so much for stirring up the gift in me. I want to use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and the gifts of the Spirit be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to look at three today. We're going to look at the shoes that are talking about that are shod with peace. We're going to look at shield of faith, and we're going to look at sword of the Spirit. You know, these are all of them is really good. We need all of them. Now, some of you are probably thinking right now, I mean, you thought when I was talking how important a belt was, you know, you probably thought that was crazy, but we're going to go back on that a little bit because importance of the belt and truth. But, you know, shoes, who really thinks about their shoes? Well, if you ever tried to do something and you couldn't keep your foot in, you'd know you didn't have the right pair of shoes. Amen? You got to have the shoes, you know, for the job. And, you know, this is talking shoes that are shod with peace. Okay? You got to remember that part of it. It's shod with peace. Now, how many's ever put a horse shoe on a horse? Anybody? I've watched it done. You know, we didn't really shoe many of our horses we had, but a few we did have shoed. And, you know, you want to make sure that shoe's tight because they can throw that shoe. And in some ways, you know, especially if you're on a slick condition, them shoes help a horse have traction. Well, it's same with the Roman soldier here, because what this word shod is, you know, we use it for horses, but in the Greek, that word means to bind tightly. Now me, for the last 15 or 20 years, I don't put my shoes very tight. This is just a personal thing. I like to slip them on and slip them off. You know what I'm saying? Without having to bend down and tie my shoes. You know? And I got the greatest invention my wife bought a while back. There's a shoehorn. It's about this long. I only have to go down a little bit. You know what I mean? And so my knee's healing in Jesus' name. And so that's really been a blessing to me. But, you know, my shoes aren't bound very tightly. Matter of fact, if I kick like this, they'd fly. You know, I won't do it right now because some of you are in harm's way. But, you know, you don't want that if you're in a battle. You know, you don't really think how important traction is unless you're pushing and against the enemy and the enemy's pushing against you. Because if you lose your footing, you're going down. And if you go down, you die. They're going to put a sword right in you. So he was talking here, and it's an idea of having tight-fitting peace versus loose-fitting peace. Now, a lot of people say, I got the peace of God, bless God. I'm walking in peace until turmoil hits. You know what I mean? You know, until the storm comes. And then all of a sudden, it's a little loose there. You know, but you have to have it tight. You have to have it really bound down, tight on your feet so it doesn't come off, because you want that peace. You need that peace. Now, something about the Roman soldier's shoes, he had different kinds. You know, parade shoes were just kind of like sandals, probably like some of you wear. But maybe not all of us wear those, do we? But anyway, the idea of the war, when they went to war, their shoes they put on for battle had nails driven in the bottom, pointed down, amen, about 3 inches long. They could have been up to 3 inches long. Now that's Traction City, baby. You know, I remember we've had some ice storms here in Iowa. And I remember we don't have them, I don't know whatever happened to them, but, you know, we used to have, we called them cleats. I mean, what they would is you just strapped them to your insulated boot, and then you could walk on the ice. You had traction now. But see, if you're in battle and your shoes are slick and you can't keep your footing, or just push right out from under you. So these shoes with these spikes on them, you always had traction because you weren't always fighting on a level terrain. They could be fighting in any kind of terrain that there was. And they always had to have that traction. And you're going to go through life, and things are going to be changing in your life from time to time. You're always going to need peace for every situation. Every kind of terrain that you get into, you're going to have peace. Also, these shoes were kind of bad motor scooter stuff. If you knocked your enemy down, you could just stomp them with them 3-inch nails, and you could kill them. Hypothetically, you could kill somebody just by penetrating at least a couple inches. And we're going to go into that a little bit better when we get to the sword. So your vital organs, I mean, you got your rib cage and stuff, but there's places, you know, if you penetrate 2 or 3 inches, it's going to get you and you're going to bleed out. So that's the importance, what Paul, remember Paul was, you know, in prison and he was being watched by a Roman soldier that he had witnessed wear all these pieces of armor. And isn't it cool how God takes something in the natural and he teaches us something spiritual about it? And see, that's what he did with the armor of God. He turned something that was very practical. Everybody in that day knew, because the Roman soldiers, they dominated the regions, you know what I'm saying? They were probably the toughest fighting machine for a long time. And they knew warfare and just some amazing feats that they did. And so Paul here was being guarded by one of these soldiers, and little bits of pieces come out in the other Gospels, but here in Ephesians, Paul really tied it all together in the Church of Ephesus. And the Church of Ephesus had some, remember, we didn't go into this as much, I don't think I mentioned it in this series, but you know, they had a lot of demonic and cultic things going on in this city. A lot of demon worship and different things going on there. So there was a lot of spiritual battle. Some places have more spiritual battle than others. And it's important, you know, that we're ready for these, because, you know, with peace, you know, I know that how important it is, because there's so many things that can go on in a Christian's life. You can leave this door today and get a phone call, and it could be something really bad. Something that's just, it could just knock you off your feet, unless you have peace. But see, we walk in the peace of God, and how important that is, because I believe peace empowers us. Now, I'm going to look at two kinds of the power of peace that we have, because what it is, you know, peace, you know, really is the opposite of war, okay? Now, we've all probably lived life, and we've went through things in our life where things have not went the way that we thought they should have, and maybe you're in that situation now, and it maybe feels like you're in a war. You may not be in a physical war, but there's a war going on in your mind. Okay? And in your mind, things are racing, things are rumbling, things are going all different directions, and you don't know exactly how this is going to turn out. But I want to tell you that, you know, we can be going through a war all around us, but we can still walk in the peace of God and not have a worry in this world. You know, it doesn't matter what they're advertising in the news, you know what I'm saying? Because it ain't the news no more. They just advertise what they want you to think. You know, so they're advertising all these things, but don't have to worry about that. Don't let that race in your mind. Don't let that chaos come in to try to steal your joy and also knock you off your peace. And there's two kinds of peace that we're going to look at. You know, the peace with God and the peace of God. We need both. Now, the peace with God, hypothetically, in reality, is the most important, because that's the salvation peace. That means you're okay with God, and that's where we need to get, and that's our first step, you know, is peace with God. Colossians 1:20 says that peace with God through the blood of His cross, okay? We cannot get peace with God by anything that we do. We can't get peace with God by anything that we say. We can only get peace with God because of the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. the power in that blood to be able to destroy sin in our life, to be able to take that totally off the table, out of our life. And that he died for us. And when we finally understand that and get that revelation of what it means to be a Christian, to be saved, and the power that's in that cross, then the byproduct of that, which is what we really need in the first place, is peace with God. You know, if you're walking today and you don't have peace with God, you're worried about your eternity. You're worried about if you died today, what would happen with you. If you think that God's really mad at you, we need to get that fixed. Because it's so simple. It's a revelation away. All you have to do is get the revelation that Jesus Christ took your place on the cross. And you put your faith in what Jesus did and let God have it. Simple as that. I mean, we make it hard. God made it simple. And so once we get that peace with God. So once you have peace with God, you don't have to walk around always looking over your shoulder. Now, I equate that when I was younger, I was a little, got in trouble sometimes. I did some things. I could have went to jail. Maybe not. I did one night, but that was just a different deal. But, you know, every time I saw a policeman, I get a little nervous, man, when I was driving. You know what I'm saying? I just looking over my shoulder, wondering about it. Once I got saved, I kid you not, that went away. Because I had a clear conscience. God cleansed my conscience, amen? You know? And it's kind of like, it's like that. You see, we don't have to worry about everything going on around us. I don't have to worry about authority because I'm under authority now. I submitted myself to God. And so once I achieved that peace with God, everything just turned around. See, when we know we're good with God, we know that we can go with God. And that's what we need to know. We're going with God now. We're not against God. We're on God's team. Because if God is for me, who can be against me, okay? That's serious. That's it. We have God now. Now, the second thing after the peace with God is called the peace of God. Like I said, the peace with God is more important because that's a heaven or hell thing. Now, to me, this is important because it depends what kind of life do you want to live? You know, I've been saved over 30 years. I never thought I'd live to the age of 30. You know, I mean, that's how stupid I was. But once I got saved in my 20s, well, I knew 30 was an easy thing to get to. And now I'm up in my 60s, you know, I know there's more. So, but what kind of life do you want to live after you get saved? Oh, it's okay that you're going to heaven. But why live in hell? You know what I'm saying? A lot of people live in hell. The hell of their mind, you know, what's going on in there. All the chaos and all the problems, all the attacks that happen. And, you know, we don't have to live like that. Because peace can be a part of our life. So we have peace, the peace of God. I'm going to read a couple scriptures, just kind of paraphrase them a little bit. Philippians 4:7 says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts. Okay. We got to guard our hearts. I mean, our heart is very important, you know, and that's what I try to tell people, guard your heart. You know, don't just, you know, throw your heart out there and let it be abused and toyed with. You know, you got to guard it because the Bible even says in Proverbs chapter 4, because from it flow the issues of life. So we need to guard our heart. But here it says that if we have peace, the peace of God, we're going to have the peace that surpasses all understanding. It's the kind of peace that we don't normally have in our lives that surpasses all of our understanding. I do know this. There's times in my life when the attacks get really hard and I don't understand why I'm not worrying now because I'm walking in peace. I'm so excited about that. Colossians chapter 3:15 says that the peace of God rules in our heart. You know, it's important to rule, right? You know, that word rules is talking about an arbiter or an umpire. An arbiter is a person who settles a dispute or has ultimate authority in a matter. Like if you are disagreeing with somebody and you say, okay, we can't straighten this out, we'll never get this figured out, let's go to an arbiter. And you both have to agree that whatever the arbiter says rules, okay? So you go there, and the arbiter gives their decision. Let peace be your arbiter. Whenever you whenever your mind's trying to talk you into worrying or going off track and all these things, you know, make sure that dispute gets settled by this arbiter. It's also talking like an umpire. You know, when you're playing ball or whatever the case may be, an umpire or referee, because it's, I guess, football season now, there's referees. You know, when they call the shots, that's just the way it is. And they say this is the penalty, or you know, there was no foul. You don't matter what you think. You can whine and cry all you want, but that's what it is. The decision's been made. So both these scriptures are telling us to let peace be our arbiter. Let peace rule and reign in our hearts, so that when things come in that we don't understand, let peace make the final decision in your life. I choose peace. I choose to walk in that kind of peace. I refuse to worry. I refuse to allow that. And see what's going to happen, you know, that worry keeps trying to come into your mind. I kid you not, I don't really think it's probably possible. I mean, it probably would be if you're perfect, but no, I don't think any of you guys are. I know I'm not, and I'm just saying, I'm just stepping out on a limb here. But, you know, we can't maybe stop every thought coming in our mind. But we do have the power to stop them from staying there. Amen. And that's the key. You can't let them worrying thoughts stay in your mind. You know, walk in wisdom, but don't let those things worry your mind. Because if they do, you know, it's going to be tough. A lot of things, you know, going to happen, you know, that's going to be a bummer. Now, we can be behind enemy lines and surrounded on all sides and still walk in peace. Because we know who's with us. And that peace comes from God. Now we're going to jump into the shield of faith. Remember, I'm just going to go through these three today, so I want to get through them. Remember, the shield of faith, how important that is. Now, this is one, you know, all the other stuff, for the most part, other than the shield and the sword, all the other things kind of attached to the body, you know what I mean? The shield of faith, very important. Remember, in our first series a couple weeks ago, I mentioned that the belt of truth on how the shield would sort of hang on that, you know, and that's where we need to get to. And I can't overstress this. I could preach this every day for a couple months. The importance of the Word of God. Now, the Word of God needs to be our truth, okay? What that ever means to you. Now, I know it's hard. There's a lot of stuff in the Bible, but I would encourage you to start in the New Testament. Start reading through that baby, you know, just kind of going back and forth. You know, come to an extra service every now and then. Amen. Amen. You know, hit the Wednesday night. If you want to start Bible school, we got a little Bible still going. But get that Word in you, because I'll tell you what, when you get the Word inside of you, you're invincible. You know, it's important to get that truth just locked down inside of you. And we have to come to the point, I can't stress this enough, that if there's a question that comes up, the Word of God has the final answer.
Amen.
You have to say, that's it. That's where I'm going. I don't understand it, but this is what it says.
Thank you.
This is what the Word says, and that's what I believe, and that's what I'm going to do. Even if we don't understand it, even if it doesn't totally, you know, pan out quite for a little bit, believe me, it will start to fit. Things will start to fall in line. Once you get that Word of God interwoven in your life from different angles, you know, understanding the different concepts and the different things, it's going to make a really strong shield. And that's what I'm getting to right here. Because the Roman shield was kind of a piece of wood, and then they would take pieces of leather and they would interweave them, and there was multiple layers, could be up to 6 layers of leather on this shield. And that gave it some strength, which we're going to go into what the Roman soldier did. Now, it all comes back to the idea of truth. See, we live in a world that will tell people you need to find your own truth, okay? But see, there's only one truth, and that's God's Word, God's truth. And that's how we need to be locked in. Yes, that is narrow-minded. I know that. So don't text me or email. That's real narrow-minded, I know. But see, narrow is the way.
That's right. Thank you.
That's what the Bible says. You know, the way is broad that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life.
Amen.
We need to be narrow-minded. We need to keep it in focus and in line with God's word. See, what happens is if we start believing the lie becomes our truth. And that's what happens. We live in a world where people have believed the lie so long that that is their truth, and they'll die believing that truth. That lie has become their truth. And that's, but if they would read the Word of God, see, the Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept, it'll start to pluck up all those worldly lies that's going on in our mind. It'll start to pull that fear out. It'll start to pull that doubt and unbelief out. It'll start getting rid of some of those roots that have been buried so deep and go down so far that are hard to get rid of. And they don't happen sometimes just overnight. You just keep putting the word in. The best explanation I've ever thought of is, you know, if you had two glasses up here, one filled with 7-Up and one with Coke, if you keep dumping the 7-Up, you know, in that Coke, after a while, it's going to get that out, get rid of that. It'll turn lighter and lighter and lighter and get rid of that. But see, it just comes by keep putting the word in. It'll start forcing those lies out. Now, the Roman soldier had primarily two shields. They had a parade shield, and that's not what we're going to look at today, because life is not always a parade, is it? Life is sometimes a battle. So we're going to look at the battle shield today. And I've talked about this, I think, a couple years ago a little bit. But the idea of what the shield represents, the shield of faith, shield that is talking here is it looks like a door. It was, you know, probably about this wide and, you know, about as tall as the Roman soldier, maybe a little less. And they would carry this in the battle. And we know there's different ways that they did it. And primarily, they took care of that shield. It was very important that they tended to their shield, because back then in warfare, I mean, you know, it's just, if you've watched those shows, you know, it's just amazing, you know, how it's all, they didn't, you know, really fight far away other than the arrows, what this is going to go into them in a minute. But, you know, they would just fight hand to hand, wouldn't they? They'd just get right up in somebody's face and they would just have it out. And this is how they fought. Now, one way that they tried to get an advantage, which the devil always tries to get an advantage, is sometimes when they were in battle, they would take arrows and either dip them in tar and light them on fire, or even some, I kind of read, they had they were hollowed out like a piece of bamboo, and they would put some stuff inside of them and then light it. And when that fire arrow hit its target, the insides would kind of make it a little explosion, you know. The liquid would go all over the target and just light on fire. See, getting shot with an arrow is bad enough, but somehow a fire arrow, it just adds a fear level, don't it? I mean, that's what the enemy does. That's what the devil does. I mean, it's bad enough he makes accusations, but then he lights them on fire. And then he tries to get us to, see, what he's trying to do is to get us to leave that peace, step over in the fear, and when we step in the fear, that's when we're part of his bait. That's when we're the bait of the devil, when we start to lose that strength and that faith and that peace that we have. He can get us in there, and that's why these are talking about fiery darts from the evil one. Notice he just plain out just said it's the devil there, the evil one. And so what happens there is the importance of that shield and that it covered the whole body. And we have to see if the shield can cover the whole body. We have to understand faith will cover our whole body. Faith will cover a whole life. How important it is to have faith. You know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, right? So keep putting the word in. You know, the Bible is just not some little book we dust off every now and then and just kind of maybe kiss it. No, we got to get the word inside our heart, because we got to have it. Because what happens then, also these shields, they could be hooked together. I don't know if you've seen those things on some of those battles with the Romans, but you know, they would do the turtle move or the tortoise move. You know, they would be marching and they would all huddle up together, and the front people would put their shields this way, and the people behind would put their shields on top of them, and they had those spikes on their feet, and they would just march. You could shoot arrows at them, whatever you wanted to do, and they might just march over the top of you. because they were like a turtle. Their shields protected them on the front, the sides, and the top. And so they could get close to the enemy. See, they may not be able to beat the enemy far away, shooting arrows, but the enemy's trying to keep them away, and he keeps shooting those arrows, but they don't work. They keep marching one step after the other, going right after up the enemy and getting right up in their face so they can use their sword, which we're going to go into in a minute. So they would do that. Now, the idea of the shield, remember I said it was wood covered with multiple layers of leather, probably, or of some manifestation. But what happens if a soldier got lazy? You know, I know you're in the army of God. Have you ever gotten lazy before? I think we probably all have. See, I haven't done it for a while, but I oil my Bible. It's leather. Every now and then I'll take a little saddle soap or some oil, and I would rub. I tend to my Bible, man, because my Bibles are important to me. And ball gloves, if you leave your ball glove, back when I was a kid, you'd throw them in the back window of the car so you have it for the next game. Well, that's not good for them. What happens to that sun? It dries out the leather, and it becomes brittle, and it can crack. So what the Roman soldier would do when he woke up in the morning, he would get some oil and he would start rubbing it all over his shield. Because if your leather cracks, you have a place where the enemy can get through. Because that little piece of wood ain't going to stop that arrow. But that leather interwoven together and being supple with oil, it could put them out. And then sometimes I've read even when they right before they went into battle, they would soak their shields in water. You know, the water's not going to hurt the leather because it's soaked with oil, but that would help extinguish some of the fire. And, you know, what the water, the word. I mean, there's just so much picture things here. It's just amazing, you know. So we don't want any weak shots and weak spots. So the shield represents our faith, but then the oil represents the Holy Spirit. Now, the importance of how the Holy Spirit keeps our faith fresh and alive, and we can get stale if we're not careful. You know, some people, the word is just in their head. It's not in their heart. They memorize, they can remember it, but it's really not a part of them because they treat it wrong. They look at it wrong. And the importance of how to be able to get it to be a part of our life. And the idea of what the Holy Spirit does. Now, here's what I do. Whenever I read, I say, Holy Spirit, you're the teacher. Reveal something to me. I'm open. I want to know what you want me to know. And the importance of having the Word and the Spirit working together in conjunction with each other, because what will happen, I mean, I don't want to go back too much on stuff, but you got Logos and Rhema, right? Logos is the whole Bible. And then Rhema is times when the Holy Spirit will pick something out and just give it to you. And see, if you have that together, working together, and then you're going to be a force to be reckoned with. And we're going to look at that a little bit here in a moment. You know, the idea of those fiery darts, because they do bring greater fear upon us. Now, what are some of the darts? You know, we got lies and accusations about you or family. I mean, how many people have maybe, you know, the enemy has sowed seeds of distrust into your mind? Maybe in the areas of your spouse or something. You get, you know, they're trying to get you to doubt, get you to think all these things. And then fear walks in, that you're afraid. You know, you're afraid to make that next step or that next move. You know, that God's maybe pushing you into or wanting you to go to. And then there's always that one of insecurity that shoots in our mind. That I don't think I can. You know, I just don't think I'm good enough. You know, those lies come in there. Those are those arrows that try to penetrate. And the importance of what we need to do to overcome them. Now, the importance of the shield is, remember, your two important parts of your body are kind of protected. You got what on your head? You got your helmet, right? Your helmet of salvation. Then you also have your breastplate of righteousness. You already got those. Them are on. The part of the shield is that it keeps the attacks away from those. Granted, you could probably take an arrow hit to the breastplate every now and then, or maybe to here, but I wouldn't make a habit of it. Why risk it? You know, a lot of people play real close to temptation, real close to sin. I can handle it. It ain't going to bother me. You know, I've been delivered from that. You know, and I've witnessed this before, that they played too close to the edge and they fell in. So we need to make sure that we keep them things far away from us. Amen. Okay, now we're going to jump into the last one, the sword of the Spirit. And this is something that we all need to understand also. Now, the sword of the Spirit, what we need to see is that it's a deadly sword. Okay? It's deadly. And how important that we get that. Now, back at this time when this was written by the Apostle Paul by the power of the Holy Spirit, there was multiple swords that sometimes people used in battle. Okay? I'm going to mention two. Primarily, the first one would be the broadsword. Many of you have seen that. It's a big old sword, kind of long. It's heavy. It's dull on one side but sharp on the other. And they would take big swings with that. It was kind of hard to handle. Sometimes they called it a two-handed sword. So this is what was used back in that day. And they tried to defeat the enemy by just overwhelming force. Boom. You hit somebody with that sword. Might knock them down. But if they have armor on, it might put a dent, but it won't penetrate all the time. And, you know, you want to penetrate the armor of your enemy to be able to destroy them. So the next sword that we're going to look at, other than the broadsword, is a sword that the Romans kind of converted over to after they, I think I read they were defeated with the broadsword in some battle, and it's called Makara. Now that's not for sure that's right, but for today, it's close enough, amen? Now, that sword was only 18 inches long, razor sharp on both sides, and a sharp point. That kind of sword, you had to get close to your enemy. But this sword had a nickname. It was called the slaughter knife. Like, you know, some people have worked at a slaughterhouse before. I know it's a little, dinner's still a little ways away. But, you know, yeah. This sword was tough. Remember I said how they marched together with their shield. When you have a good shield, you can risk getting close, right? No shield, you can't get close. That 18-inch knife would probably get you killed. But if you got your shield, they could get close to their enemy. And they would, I don't know if I want to go into all of it, but they would stick it in, twist it, and yeah. Enemy would be laying in a puddle of blood because this sword was made for one thing, and that was to kill. Like I said earlier, you only have to penetrate the outer layer of your body, a couple inches, you can get to something pretty important. Lungs, heart, all that other stuff in there. And if you get a hole in that, you'll bleed out. Where if you get hit with that broadsword, it may knock you down, may wind you, but you know, it may not take you out, and that's what you want to do. Now, what I see by this is with this sword, remember, I'm not going to go into all of it, but remember the Bible's called the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is active and sharper than any two-edged sword, okay? So there's we have enough evidence to show how this works. And what happens then, it depends upon our word level. And this the word level in our life is very important. You know, I found out that Satan is not impressed if you're a Baptist, Pentecostal, or Methodist. He's only impressed by how much word you know or your word level. That's the truth. Because it don't matter. You can show him if you're a member of a church. You can, you know, some churches give out cards. Let's say you're a member. You know, if the devil comes knocking on your door and he's trying to steal your stuff, hey, I got this card. I'm a member of a church, man. You can't take my stuff. Stop me, he says. What are you going to stop him with, that card or that two-edged sword that's going to come out of your mouth? which is the Word of God. That's how we stop the devil in his tracks. It's by the Word that's in our mouth. See, Satan, he made a lot of mistakes. You know, big list. But he mistakenly challenged Jesus on his word level. Remember that time he challenged Jesus and said, you know, you can jump off this and angels will hold you up. I mean, he was going into, but he was quoting the Bible. He was quoting the Logos. He knows the Bible. He's been around long enough. But Jesus had the rhema. And Jesus spoke the word for the moment and just put him in his place. See, that's the benefit of having, you know, acknowledging, you know, the Holy Spirit as a person. You know, we believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, okay? We believe the Holy Spirit is a person, and he's living inside of us. He can lead and guide us. He can show us and tell us things that we need to say. You know, we just need to be aware of his presence in our life. And then he'll take, if you keep putting the word in, keep putting the word in, keep putting the word in, get your word level up. Well, then all of a sudden, when problems arise, you know, John 14, 26 says, the Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance. I quote that scripture all the time. Because when I need a word, I want that word. Amen? And so God will give me that word that I need to use against the devil, you know, to keep him back away from me or away from my family and all these things. See, Satan tried to use the broadsword and Jesus took up that little slaughter knife and went and just got him and he had to leave. It was over. So the importance of the rhema. Now, having that rhema in our life and knowing what it is, it just comes by keep putting the word of God in. And because we're all going to be in battles, you know, Satan don't attack us when we're in a group for the most part. He'll attack us when we're alone. He'll come to us in the night when we can't sleep. He'll start bringing lies to us, and we need to be aware of that. So in closing, I got a couple, 3 points I just wanted to throw out. Number one, it all revolves on truth and your supernatural identity. We have to have a supernatural identity. It's not a natural identity. You know, our natural identity is why we associate with either being an American or whatever, all those things, you know, you can identify with. But we need a supernatural identity that comes from God. Number two, our armor of God is the manifestation of the revelation of who we are in Christ. Okay? So the armor is not something that I mentioned in the beginning. It's not something technically we put on. It's something that comes out from us. I don't like to use this example because people can think it's weird, but I like to watch Star Trek. And those ships had a force field or a field that protected them around them, right? Well, that's kind of what it is for us. When we get our word level up and we get our faith level up and we start walking in peace, we kind of put a presence around us to protect us from the devil. And it only comes by, you have to be aware of it. You have to say, I want it, you know? We have to be ready. And lastly, our armor is an extension of that spiritual identity. So the importance of being able to have the armor of God, you know, each of us as believers, we have it. It just depends, you know, lack of a Star Trek term, you know, the shields keep getting hit. They keep going down until they're gone. So we need to keep our word level up. Need to make sure we read the word. We need to make sure, you know, you don't have to read the whole thing all the time. Just read enough, meditate on it, get it inside of you. You need to know that you're a warrior. Amen. I'll be honest, people. Amen. When the devil comes knocking, you don't need me. The only time you need me is if you're not ready. And give me a call before 10 o'clock. I'm just No, I do go to bed early. But if you got this for yourself, you don't need me. Amen. Why would you ask me to do something that God's enabled you to do? You know what I'm saying? And there ain't nothing like winning your first spiritual battle, man. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like leading somebody to the Lord for the first time. I mean, that's a milestone in your life. But the time that you the devil comes knocking and you just send him on a running. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray.